For MePoultry.com, I'm Ryan McCarthy, Digital Media Associate Editor. At MePoultry, we try to attend as many industry events as possible. In the last 2 years, Managing Editor Kimberly Klima has attended the Women in Agribusiness Summit. In this episode of the podcast, Klima details the sessions and speakers she heard from in her 2 days in Minneapolis. Take a listen. Kimberly, last week you attended the Women's in Agribusiness Summit in Minneapolis. Can you start by telling us a little bit about the conference?
Sure. The Women in Agribusiness is a business unit of HiQuest Group, which is a global agribusiness consulting events and media firm. The Women in Agribusiness initiative dates back to 2012 when the first conference was held in New Orleans. At that time, the meeting brought together just around 200 women in the agricultural industry. This year, the 8th conference hosted more than 850 women in agribusiness. Event director Joy O'Shaughnessy, along with her staff, put together a compelling 2.5-day conference filled with panel discussions from leaders in the ag industry, breakout sessions covering a wide range of industry and business-related topics, as well as a number of networking and social gathering opportunities. When previously promoting the summit, Joy O'Shaughnessy had said, "We seek to support women's advancement by demonstrating that they are knowledgeable experts in their industry. That does not need to focus on the fact that they are women, just the fact that they are that success is attainable the more one knows their business better." This was my second year attending the conference, and once again, it did not disappoint. And it helped me to do like Joy said, which is know my business better.
Gotcha. And you mentioned that around 850 people attended this year's summit. What parts of the agricultural industry are represented at this conference?
Well, anyone with any interest or stake in the ag industry is a welcome addition to the conference. Attendees range from representatives from large ag companies such as Cargill, Smithfield, Bayer, Corteva, Syngenta, even the Pork Checkoff, all of which were event sponsors. In addition to representatives from ag-related finance, insurance, legal, and ingredients companies, there are also a lot of women representing the farming and producing side of the business, as well as students from a variety of universities with programs that focus on agriculture. A lot of universities actually offer a Master's of Agribusiness degree these days. It's a great mix of professional women stakeholders in the ag industry with so much in common. We're all women and we all have a vested interest in the ag industry. Preliminary stats from the event reported that representatives from 8 countries and 48 states attended this year's summit. 26% were CEOs and top executives, and 22% were department managers. And they all came from job functions from finance, risk management, sales, marketing and PR, operations, and R&D. The conference agenda was divided up between ag industry-related topics like sustainability, traceability, recalls, consumer and product trends, and also business-related topics that are of particular interest to women working in a male-dominated ag industry. Some of those included negotiating skills, managing workplace stress, and transitioning to leadership. There's also, of course, ample networking opportunities throughout the 2.5 days. Breakfast, lunches, coffee breaks, cocktail receptions, even morning yoga, where attendees can learn and mix and mingle.
And now when you came back, you talked about the keynote session at the conference. It was a panel of U.S. state commissioners of agriculture. Can you tell us more about that session and what those state leaders had to share with you guys?
Sure. I learned at the summit that there are 14 women who currently serve as U.S. commissioners of agriculture. 4 of those women were actually featured in the opening session keynote. The panelists were Kate Greenberg, who is the Colorado Commission of Agriculture, Celia Gould, who's the Idaho Director of Ag, Dr. Jewel Brana, who is Virginia's Commissioner of Agriculture and Consumer Service, and Kim Vanneman, who is the South Dakota Secretary of Agriculture. They discussed that they all hold slightly different titles, but in all, they have the same role as commissioners of agriculture in their states. In 1986 was the first year a woman took on one of those roles as commissioner in ag, a state ag department. And by 2014, there were 6 women in those roles, and now there are 14 women in those roles. While every state in the U.S. and their ag departments are different, this panel was a fascinating peek into the priorities when it comes to agriculture in each state. Each commissioner shared information about the ag industries in their states. South Dakota's Ag Secretary, Kim Vanneman, explained how the diversity of her state's industry is divided east to west on the either side of the Missouri River. Ranching was to the west and farming is to the east. Kate Greenberg explained how Colorado cattle is a huge industry, although the growing hemp market is having quite an impact on the state's agricultural growth. And in Idaho, although it's commonly known as the potato state, Commissioner Gould explained that it is actually the third largest dairy state in the country. And Virginia has far more agricultural products than I had ever realized, but the top ones being soybeans, tobacco, and peanuts. Commissioner Brano was quick to point out they are the best peanuts in the country. And they also have some livestock products, including broilers and beef. And she also had mentioned that hemp is another growing market in her state, although both South Dakota and Idaho, neither one are selling any hemp yet. They're not permitted to, licensed, I guess, to sell hemp.
Gotcha.
And the other interesting part from the commissioners was talking about trade roadblocks that are going on in their ag markets, which is obviously affecting the entire ag industry. Commissioner Branoff from Virginia explained how the lack of trade to China is affecting their soybean market. 2 years ago, apparently, the soybean market to China from Virginia was $683 million. Then the next year, it was reduced to $235 million. And right now, there are no soybeans going out to China, which is quite an impact to the market of just one state. So all of the commissioners were definitely expressing that their hopes that the USMCA will soon be ratified so that at least the Mexican and Canadian markets will be open to their state's products.
Yeah, a lot of different areas that everybody's checking out there. Really interesting stuff. And I know one of the other topics that you talked about was sustainability as being a hot button issue for almost every ag company in the industry. And it's commonly discussed at a lot of these industry events we go to. How was sustainability covered at the Women in Agribusiness Summit there?
Well, that was definitely a hot topic, and it was a panel discussion with 3 women that are currently involved in sustainability in big ag companies. They had Kiera Lombardo, who's the Executive Vice President of Corporate Affairs and Compliance at Smithfield, Kim Stackhouse, who's the Director of Sustainability at JBS USA, and Susan Watson is the President of Crop Protection Business Platform at the newly formed Corteva AgriScience. Each company has sustainability in their operations, but to differing degrees. Kiera Lombardo explained that at Smithfield has been involved in sustainability for a number of years. The company was purchased by WH Group in China in 2013, but long before that acquisition, Smithfield had been working on its sustainability program. It now has what they refer to as a 5-pillar sustainability program, which includes animal care, the environment, food safety, communities, and people. It's in a huge part of Smithfield's corporate culture. And one of the most recent goals they had set out in sustainability was reducing greenhouse gas emissions 25% by the year 2025. And the sustainability efforts at Smithfield go far beyond the operations at the plant. They actually also, as they mentioned in one of their pillars, the communities pillar, they include their philanthropic activities like the company's food bank program. The company has donated more than 10 million servings of food over the last 10 years to food banks that are found in the towns and communities where the company has plants and farms. And Smithfield, the comparison to Smithfield from JBS USA, Kim Stackhouse had said that they felt a lot less mature in their sustainability efforts. They've only released two sustainability reports so far, even though it is quickly becoming a hot topic in the company. The company has performed some benchmarking research when they first started looking at sustainability in their operations. They examined 100 different facilities, and they looked at a lot of different operations to set up sustainability targets and goals. They want everyone in the company to have a level of ownership and sense of pride about sustainability and how their individual operations are contributing to the company's goals. One sustainability goal that she mentioned was that for harvest facilities that harvest 5,000 or more head a day, they set up their own water savings target of reducing water usage by 28% by 2020. And they have already reached that goal, even though it seemed like quite a lofty one. And aside from it being a good sustainability environmental goal, it also saves the company a lot of money in the process.
Sure.
Another interesting point that Kim made about JBS was that she saw that large companies like her own and Smithfield have the leverage to change the way that farmers farm and ranchers ranch when it comes to sustainability. I thought this was great that big companies like this can share their stories with the industry to show that everyone in the ag industry considers sustainability to be a high priority and should be an industry-wide, non-competitive initiative.
Very good. Were there any other sessions during the event that you found particularly interesting while you were there?
I really did enjoy all of the sessions I attended, but like any conference, you have to pick and choose which breakout sessions you attend. And one that I did attend that I always am interested in pertains to product trends. So Lynn Dornblaser from Intel, which is the global research company, gave a presentation that was called Why Product Trends Matter, which I thought was an interesting title because normally you just call it product trends. But she was talking to people in the ag industry and explaining to them why they should care about product trends. She explained to her audience why understanding these trends should matter to the industry. This is what she said, kind of in short, that trends drive consumer behavior, and consumer behavior is what drives product purchases, and product purchases drive manufacturing and agribusiness. So understanding the trends will help everyone in the system understand where things are going next. She explained that there are four topics that are driving today's trends: health and wellness, indulgence, convenience, value, and the environment. She spent most of her time talking about health and wellness and the environment. And what she explained was that health and wellness today is meaning to the consumer, what's good for me? It's about wholesomeness, clean label. And she said today's consumers are focused on clean and simple, although she did add that most consumers don't really know what clean and simple really means.
Sure.
She also said that 60% of consumers believe that products with fewer ingredients are healthier, which could be the case in some instances, but not across the board. And one example she gave was that her favorite food is potato chips. And potato chips have three simple ingredients: potatoes, oil, and salt. Now, by definition, fewer ingredients should mean healthier, but everyone would admit that potato chips aren't necessarily part of a healthier diet.
No.
So she explained further that even though consumers don't really know what constitutes healthy food, they agree that they want to know where their food comes from and what was done to it, which is a huge opportunity for the ag community. Her advice to the industry and those sitting in the session was to tell your stories and talk about what you do. Talk about how you're getting good, wholesome, nutritious food to consumers. She said the food industry as a whole has let the narrative go. The food industry has had the opportunity to con- to take control of this narrative and say, this is what's in food, and this is why it's in food, and this is why we do what we do. But the food industry missed the opportunity to do that and turn that narrative over to food activists with a different agenda. And now they're telling the wrong story. So Lynn told her audience simply that it's time for the food industry to take the narrative back. And I think that gatherings like the Women in Business Agribusiness Summit, where the participants are all stakeholders in the same industry and have the same goals of promoting agriculture, it's a great way to take this narrative back. And the industry can use this as a time to band together and strategize with their fellow stakeholders and go out there and tell the same positive story about the ag industry.
Yeah, it sounds like there is a lot of great information and hard to choose from the Women in Ag Summit. Is there anything else that you would like to add about your experience there?
Yeah, I would just like to say that I really did enjoy my second year at the Women in Ag Summit. The content continues to be highly informative, and the opportunities to meet and learn from so many qualified and talented women in the so many ag roles in the ag community were unmatched once again at my conference. For 8 years, the conference has grown, and each year more and more women in the industry are getting the chance to experience this event, and I hope that will continue in the future. So I just will add, to find out more about this conference, if you're unfamiliar, to go to womeninag.com, and you can join me and 850 or so other women in ag at the next year's summit in Nashville, which will be held September 16th to 18th, year 2020.
Sounds great. Well, Kimberly, thanks so much for joining us. You can read the rest of Kimberly's report from the Women in Ag Summit on our website, meatpoultry.com. And thanks again.
Thanks.
Make sure to check out the latest stories in the print edition of Meat Poultry Magazine and online at meatpoultry.com. Follow us on social media on Facebook, LinkedIn, Twitter, and Instagram, all by searching at Meat Poultry. Also, if you like the podcast, please leave a rating and review. All right, that's it for this time, folks. Thanks for listening, and have a great day.